Okay, Board of Supervisors is now back in, and we're going to recess and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. And I think we're going to ask for public comment first. Is that you, Matt?
No.
Do we have any public comment?
I haven't received any new cards.
Online?
Showing them online.
All right, now we're going to go to item B, Consent Agenda.
Move to approve. Second.
Alrighty. Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Director Haupt.
Aye.
Director Harris.
Aye.
Director Cobbseth.
Aye.
And Director Ogren.
Aye. Moving on to item C, Flood Control District presentation regarding the Scott Valley Irrigation District Recharge Project, including an update and current results.
Good morning. Matt Parker, Natural Resources Specialist. Today, Dr. Laura Foglia is here to present some updated information on the recharge project Scott Valley Irrigation District has been doing for a number of years, but specific to this project, the Flood Control District has a grant to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to pay for this work. So starting last winter, so 23-24, SVID was able to divert quite a bit of water and has some really exciting results that Laura is going to present. So. Also here today is Jim Morris from SVID, so if you have questions for him afterwards, feel free. So with that, I'll turn it over to Laura.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, everybody. Good morning. So I'm Laura Padilla with Larry Walker Associates. We are working on the Scott Valley Irrigation District project, honestly, since 2016. So there were a lot of different. I will give you a quick update because probably this board has never seen a real complete update recently because of the success of last year. We have been presenting the project to many different conferences, and Jim Morrissey was really happy to have us showing what's happening in Scott Valley right now. Next. Or can I control it in some way? No, okay. The story with the recharge in Scott Valley and using SVID as a way to apply more water in the wintertime is really that Scott Valley has this issue with lots of water available in the wintertime that needs to be captured in some way, but there are no real reservoirs, right? So we need to kind of think about how to keep some of the water in the valley. And then there is the need to use this water later in the summer. So there is this kind of moment when, if you look at the total balance, maybe the water is there, it's just that there is a problem of timing. So the Scott Recharge Project really was born, let's say, with the idea, can we create a sort of speed bump and have some more water stored during the wintertime when the river is carrying a lot of water? And this is really how it started back in 2016. Obviously, we need to demonstrate that this works, right? So we need to demonstrate that we are able to store this water in the aquifer, use it later in the summer, benefit, and provide a benefit also to the ecosystems because the cool water from groundwater is reaching the river maybe later in the season, not altogether in January, February, March. And this is how it started. So once we started applying for a temporary permit with the State Water Resources Control Board, they asked us to develop a full plan for monitoring and demonstrating that that the project has some potential benefits. And this is exactly what we were able to really set up over the years. And now we have an amazing network of data that finally will be. If we manage to do this project for another year or two, we'll really be able to tell a story, let's say. And next. So how the project works. So this is, you all know Scott Valley. The orange line is the SVID ditch. And the idea, the way the project works is for the period of January 1st, March 31st, we received a permit from the State Water Resources Control Board to divert water into at the Young's Dam, so divert water into the ditch, and then apply this extra water that it's on top of the stock water amount that SVID has for the winter time. And this water can be applied to different fields and just let it percolate basically during the winter time. And we got a lot of people along the ditch with interest in, let's say, offering their fields for applying water. You know, for farmers, it's an extra effort because obviously you ask for some kind of practice and management that they would not do. But there were a lot of people last year interested in receiving some of this recharge water. And the fields I will show you, they are some throughout pretty much the entire ditch right now. And next. So this is to give you the perspective. So we start, as I said, UC Davis started with this project in 2016. 2016 was really a pilot. Only water was applied only on about 15 acres. And there is a paper that showed some of the results of that specific study, and there were 675 acre feet of water diverted. So it was a decent number, much less than what we can do right now, actually. 2022 was not a good year, so the problem is that we didn't receive the permit early enough, and it was barely impossible to have enough time to divert for recharge. 2023, the permit was issued kind of on time. It was issued on January 18, but the problem is that there was not enough. The river was never achieving the flow that was needed to allow for diversion. So we have a threshold at the Fort Jones gauge that tells us when water can be diverted for recharge. So 2023 was again just about 800 acre feet. And then 2024 was our big year because we worked on the permit really early because, you know, after two times that you try, then you know how to do it. So we applied in June. We got the permit in November, so we were ready to go in January as soon as Fort Jones Gauge was showing a value of CFS above 440. That's our threshold. And basically, we were able to divert all the way between January 15 and March 31st. So that was the longest possible time. And the amount of water diverted ended up being about 2,500 acre feet. So it starts being a number that may make a difference. And it can be more, but it was the first year. So when we started, we kind of started step by step to avoid issues with buildings being flooded or maybe a rain coming in and the ditch being full. You know, you have to be careful on how you manage the recharge. Next. Why did we think that it was important to keep going with this recharge project? The Scott Valley Irrigation Ditch project is really one of the key projects in the Scott Valley Groundwater Sustainability Plan. So in the way we developed the plan that we submitted in 2022, and we are now working on the updates that is due 2027, the way we set up what we call the project and management action was really looking into which practices will provide a benefit, not only to the groundwater system, but also to the river system, because we need to look at the two in Scott Valley, you know. Everybody knows here that we need to look at the groundwater and surface water together. So what it's called MAR in the report here, it's really this managed aquifer recharge planned using Scott Valley Irrigation Ditch. And in all our assessment, the model results, and we were able to show that a good managed aquifer recharge project to benefit the river, reducing the depletion of interconnected surface water by 10%. And so what we did is trying to look at this 10% benefit, so 10% more water in the river in the summer months, and how this 10% relates to the acre feet in terms of managed aquifer recharge. And next slide. Oh, and I have it later, sorry. And so I will give you some numbers later, but really, these 10% and the 2,500 acre feet that we applied are kind of reasoning together and are showing that there is a positive benefit due to the project. This is to give you an idea of the flow conditions that we need. So this is Scott River at Fort Jones Gauge for the period January through March 2024. If you see that the dashed line is our critical number for starting diversion. So as soon as the river flow goes above that 440, we can start diverting. And then I also want to point out the orange line that is basically zero, that's the amount of water that we are allowed to divert. So it was. Yeah.
Help me out here. I had to look for the red line because I was just like, wait a minute, it's not even on here. I see it. But so just a quick question. The blue line says there's a lot of water right there. The red dotted line is telling me that's the threshold that has to be met. And yet, SVID is quite a bit below that.
That's how it is. Yeah.
I can't grasp that. So and yet we've got curtailments based on this kind of information.
I don't think that curtailments are based on this information. So for us, but it's for us. What the reason why we went to present the K-Bump at the Klamath Basin conference, and we put together these slides exactly to promote some question like yours, because there is a lot of pushback, let's say, on the recharge project, because there is the general tendency of saying, oh, you are completely shaving off the big hydrographs that are important for, you know, the natural system and so on. But then we showed the almost invisible orange line, and then people understood that we are not destroying the river system because of diverting these 20 CFS or 30 CFS. So right now, we are kind of constrained on the amount of diversion because of the ditch. So whatever can go into the ditch. So we can, our permit is for more than 2,500. So if we get another good year, we can do much more than 2,500. But we have the limitation of the capacity of the conveyance system. But the reason really for this plot is really to explain to everybody that we are really not changing the hydrograph at all. The hydrograph is still there. We are talking about such a small number that it's actually in the error of the measurements at Fort Jones. Because when the river is running at 3,000, you easily have plus or minus 10% error, just because it's a big amount of water and it's difficult to really capture the flows. So I see your point, Michael. It's true. There is room for way more. We would need to find. That's why the other project that we have is we are thinking about some kind of infiltration using the west side ditches in Scott Valley. So we are doing a study there. So we have Fish and Wildlife supporting us for the SVID project and Department of Water Resources supporting the west side study, but maybe there is room for doing more on the west side. I mean, SVID is really constrained by the ditch itself, unless they make a bigger ditch.
Do we have a project in play for this year?
We have it. We have the permit, and Jimmy is working out a few last issues. I don't know, Jimmy, if you want to say more, but he's working out. We are ready for the diversion as soon as we get the green light. And the river is high enough, so it would be possible. Honestly, with all the permits in place, we would be able to divert since last week. But we are still missing something. So the data are all in place. So we have everything. So we measure We measure the flow that goes into the ditch. We measure the flow in the Scott River at Young's Dam, so we can control that we are not taking out more than a certain amount, so to avoid biological impacts. And we have some more measurement downstream, and we measure groundwater levels everywhere to really show how things are. So everything is ready. We just need to start putting water there for this year. Next. So this is still for last year, how we ramped up the diversion and the recharge. So it really didn't come all at once because we were trying, but it was really consistently happening from January 15 till the end of March. And it summed up to about 2,500. Next. For the data that we are collecting, we have five flow stations along the ditch, which are the blue triangle. And so those are critical because really they are letting us see what happens. You know, the ditch is losing water by itself beside the extra recharge, just because it's aligned and it's just losing water. So we can really keep track step by step of what goes into the ground because of ditch infiltration and what is applied because of managed aquifer recharge. And then we have a lot of groundwater wells that are really monitoring groundwater levels continuously. And these data are available throughout the year. They're there. No, but we will not move them also because we need them for the groundwater sustainability plan. So all together, they give us the idea of how the groundwater system is replenished or if it's going down. We kind of have a good picture for Scott Valley right now. Next. And these are the fields. So the blue fields on the map are the fields where we were able to apply water last winter. There were more people interested, but these are the first 10 different locations where we did it. So they are throughout the irrigation canal, and we try to apply as much as possible in locations that are really not next to the river. So we were applying more water a little bit far away, just to avoid having the water going immediately down into the river. And so basically we did from our calculation using the flow station, 1774 acre feet were applied to this blue location that you have in the map, and 765 acre feet were just lost through natural irrigation in the canal, which is not lost, still it's going into the groundwater, so at the end it does the same thing. Next. And these are just some plots of how the groundwater system was responding to this recharge. So I will show you more. If you check out the plot, the one on the bottom on the left side, that well went up 17 feet during the recharge applications. The other, they went up 3 or 4, still is quite a significant number. It's not little. And so our continuous data really let us keep controlling how things are moving around. Next. So let's look at that well the one that went up 70 feet. That happens to be on the original managed aquifer recharge site at Jim Morris place. And it's in the square there. So there we were able to apply more water because we had a way to measure how much we were applying, so it was easier, and we started right away. Next. So here, basically, what you see, the blue field in the map is where we apply the water. The purple well is really next to the field. Then we installed the continuous data on the green well, which is somewhere in the middle between the application and the river. And then the yellow well is really close to the river. What we wanted to see in our dream before having the test last year was really the purple well going way up and the others not doing much. because a lot of the pushback about recharge in Scott Valley was you apply the water and it goes directly back into the river. And here what we want to show is that the water stays there a little longer. We'll go back to the river, but later in the season, not right away. So here in the plot on the bottom, you see the purple line is the purple well, and really went up those 17 feet over the application, the 2.5 months of application. But the green and the yellow, they pretty much stayed where they are. And actually, we also look at the stage in the river during the same period. They pretty much go together with the stage in the river, which means they are not getting all the extra water right away.
So what does the data look like further into this year on the yellow and the green well?
They switch. They start switching. So
they
then
go up?
They go up, and then they basically, at some point, the stage in the river goes higher, and so they start going down. And so we are really analyzing now all the data from all the single wells that we have for looking into. We were doing that to get ready for this new recharge season. What we wanted to do is really compare, actually, with previous years. So what we are doing now is really putting everything from also the previous year to see, was this year different in some way? We need to add, we have other points that are a little bit further downstream, because we really want to see what's the benefit downstream. So groundwater level were higher this year. Can we say that it's all because recharge, or it was kind of an interesting winter last winter? I really feel like it's a combination of many things, probably.
What about the temperature? Are you monitoring the temperature?
We have the temperature also.
And as the water stays in the system, in groundwater, I'll call it, is it the longer it stays there, like from purple and moving down, does it get cooler?
Yeah, it stays cooler. And that's exactly, so the other piece of the study, I think I have it next. These are just contour maps, so exactly, we are trying to map out, and we will provide a report on how things are changing because of the recharge. And you can see, the only thing I want to point out, the west side, so the map on the left is pre-recharge, and the map on the right is post-recharge. The lines on the left, on the west side, they don't change much. But if you notice the lines on the next to the SVID area, they really bend in a different way. And what that bending means is that the groundwater is supplying water into the stream. That's why basically they go from a kind of a flat and then they bend up after recharge. So there is a benefit, there is water that goes in. We want to see this benefit be later in the season also.
So what's the, we're looking at Orofino Creek, the dramatic difference on the left side versus the right side. What explains the...
It's really just because there is, I think it might be that we don't have that many data there.
Well, the recharge at Orofino Sand probably wouldn't be quite...
Yeah, exactly. That's it, and we don't have really many data there, so there is probably a little bit of interpolation or whatever. So we really need to look mostly on the area. So where we have the triangles in the map is where we have actual measurements, so we can control those areas better. So we definitely have way more information once we are downstream of Young's Dam.
I would think that recharge in Orofino Creek would greatly contribute to increased flow in the cutoff area below Miamar. Even more so than Scott Valley Irrigation District.
Yeah. You know, we are using Scott Valley because Irrigation District just because it was a quick, easy way to try something, right?
But I understand.
But we were discussing a lot about using side creeks and really applying water a little bit farther up so that then it has a longer travel time to get down.
Further along, talk about a couple of opportunities I see on the west side.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, we would like to get ideas for the website. So we are we are collecting data right now. So if we can have concrete ideas, we are open to that.
Okay.
Next. Yeah, and this is where I wanted to go back that I told you about the 2,500 and the 10% benefit that we modeled during GSP development. If we look into taking that 10% benefit and we make it as an acre feet number, it looks like the benefit can be in the order of 480 acre feet per year. And we apply 2,500. So obviously, we know that all the 2,500 are not making it back to the river exactly between October and November, but a part of that hopefully is making it back really in those two critical months. And so now that's the way we are reasoning. Like, we apply 2,500, a percentage of this 2,500 is what is really making into the river after August, and that's what we are working on, trying to really put a clear, there will be uncertainty, you know, because we know the system, everything can happen, but maybe this will help us putting a number that shows how our recharge can contribute to the health of the system in, as a total system. So these numbers seem really kind of promising. And we know that we can do more than 2,500 if everything works out. Next. We have also been asked from North Coast Regional Quality Control Board to do some water quality analysis. So we have now a waiver through the North Coast. There will be some pesticide data collection, but it looks like we got the waiver last week, so we are good to go with that one. So the North Coast approved it, and we will have to do a reporting plan for the North Coast Regional Board as well as the state board. So there is a lot of reporting after the recharge. Next, the other thing that we are doing that goes a little bit on in the direction of the question about temperature, we are doing some geochemistry analysis to try to understand where in along the Scott River are the best gaining reaches. So where is groundwater really supporting the river the most? And we use geochemistry to tell us how throughout the year some location may stay really cool because groundwater keeps coming in, and which location are losing most of the water. And this will help us really with what I was saying earlier on the timing of the recharge getting into the river. Because if the cool groundwater gets into the river, temperature stays down and the geochemical signature is different. So that's our demonstration exercise. Next. And so we used the radon, which is naturally occurring, so we were not injecting anything. Radon basically, depending on the value, we can measure the concentration in local groundwater, and then when we measure the same, when we measure into the river, we can see which stretches of the river are getting more groundwater. So the one with the higher values usually are the ones, the stretches that are getting more groundwater, so they are, at the same time, they are cooler in temperature and they have more radon, for example. Next, what we did is we really took the Scott River downstream of Youngstown and we tried to monitor what was happening. So if you just look at this plot, the plot goes with the time. So we started in April and we kept collecting data till September. Actually, we are still collecting data because we decided that it was very useful. And on the y-axis, basically, if the number is bigger, it means that there is more groundwater contribution into the river. So it was very interesting to see that there was really a low point at sometime in August when the river seemed to be losing more water, but then all the points are kind of steadily going up, which means the groundwater is starting contributing more into the river. And this seems to be kind of an approach that has been supported in terms of really trying to, it's very novel, and not many other GSAs did anything like this, but now that they saw this one, they are asking us to do it in other places, because it can help us tell a story of how the river and the groundwater are working together. Next. And so we are doing it both on the Scott River, but also on the Kidder Creek side, so the west side, because as I said, that might be our next step, working on the west side. And yeah, future work, we hope to be starting recharging soon again. So the data collection is there. So we get data every night. So as soon as we start, we're ready to go, and then we will just have to work on the reporting at the end of the recharge season. I think this is the last one. Yeah. So we need a. The main message is that to really be able to tell a story, because every winter is different, everything is always different, we need to have maybe two or three very good years of data, so that then we can kind of map everything together. But the first successful year, at least, was showing numbers that are kind of concrete, finally. And that's it.
Who wants to go first?
I will.
Okay.
The slide that you showed with the amount of water, the orange line.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody with any training in science would say that's statistically insignificant. I know, you know that waterboard drives me nuts. One thing, if you can go to the slide on the west side that showed the tributaries coming in, that was kind of, doesn't matter. I look at the 28 years I've lived in the valley and some of the changes that have happened over the years. I think the water boards and the Fish and Game's approach to in-stream dedication is doing nothing but harming the river. And the reason I say that is that it's going out to the ocean at a time when the fish really don't need it, at the expense of late season flows. A couple of things, and we've actually contributed to that with some of our groundwater well permitting. And that, you know, if you retire surface water, right, then maybe you can get an ag well, that kind of thing. I'd like to go back and revisit a lot of that from the standpoint of maybe. I don't know how to approach the state on a bunch of their in-stream dedications they've done with some of these conservation groups. It seems to me that during a period of excess flows, those could significantly contribute to groundwater recharge projects in the valley that could help us and actually recover the fish, something that they think they're doing, but they're not. I don't know how to approach them, but it's something from a Sigma standpoint, and that's still in the room. I think we need to start pushing on that rather hard. It seems to me there's a figure sticking in my head from Dr. Hart years ago. We needed 2,500 or 3,500 acres of recharge to keep the river connected year long. I don't know if that number's still good or not.
That was kind of coming just out of the model, now that we have the actual data. What we are trying to do is reassess. Might be more than that.
Okay.
But, you know, think about SBLD, well, you did already 2,500 this year, so.
It may not be acres that we need rather than impoundments. You know, some things to look at is that some of the cessation of diversions, you know, we don't have the diversions from Sugar Creek as they once were. Those are going directly into the river for the most part. The Tiger Ditch that fed Wildcat Creek has pretty much been retired. The Patterson Creek diversion has either been bought up by the Water Trust or it's retired and to be able to grab groundwater well. Each one of those could be contributing significantly on the west side in high flow periods to groundwater recharge. And they don't, you know, this whole thing about volume is it was held up alpha one. You know, I took that boat sail a long time ago. We don't even need to put it on alfalfa ground. There's other places. There's like Johnson's Ditch and the Johnson Creek. There's an impoundment right in the Hammond Branch right there that hasn't been used in years. That pond could be filled. There's another one above Martin's that hasn't been filled in years. There's one further down from Horn Lane, between Horn Lane and Jeff Fowle's place that has water in it sometimes, and sometimes it's full, sometimes it's not, but that's a significant impounding place where you can put water. And I look at Orofino Creek. You know, one of the issues of Orofino Creek, according to some geologists I worked with years ago, was that geologically speaking, Orofino Creek was thought to be actually the exit for Kinder Creek, and that it didn't go actually down to the river the way it does today. I don't know what caused that breach, but it seemed to me that every time we cut off the ditch coming over into Orofino, we're also significantly decreasing the low flows around the Amber later on in the year. That would be one place I'd focus on as well for groundwater recharge. And I'm not quite sure, Jim may know the current status of the Dalcini ranch operations down there, whether or not they're doing a diversion or impoundment like they once did. But that's also something to take a look at too. That was a significant contribution to the groundwater recharge and going into the river. The other thing that concerns me right now is coming from Fishing Game is a push to take over the Cliff Lake piece that I worked on years ago, and they want to be able to manage that for fish. I'm opposed to that. They asked me if I would approach the Mankies, and that's a relationship I have, but I'm not really in favor of that, primarily because all they really want to do is in-stream dedication. And the problem with that is the key to recharge in Mill Creek has always been the groundwater recharge that occurred on the Mankey Ranch. It hasn't been occurring in the last couple of years for a number of reasons, but taking that water away is just going to further drive down the fish populations in Shackelford Creek and Mill Creek. So a lot of ideas in my head, you know, and I think my message is it's time to go big. Because I think we've got enough data that we need to start fighting back against the state and telling them we're just killing this watershed the way they're going.
Thank you. Mom, did you take
notes?
Yeah.
Okay. It's on tape.
I know.
As you know, I'm a huge advocate for recharge projects. I think something that we need to tie in with all this information that we tend to lose is the increased carrying capacity for wildlife, waterfowl, frogs, turtles. You know, when we're dedicating all the water in stream, we're taking an ecosystem with a specific carrying capacity, and we're dwindling down to what the river itself can sustain. So, you know, when you're filling these ponds like Ray's talking about, you're providing carrying capacity for all these things that Fish and Wildlife says they have a concern for. Well, this is a very, you know, plausible solution for that, and I think that, you know, we need to address that when we're talking about this. And, I mean, obviously you have my support through any future recharge projects that we move forward.
So it's interesting to me that basically we're going through the exercise to prove what we always knew. A wet system was a lot better than a dry system, and this in-stream dedication is single species oriented, and it's basically the heck with anything else out there. But, you're doing great work. You're bearing out the data that we haven't had, and that's, I mean, for years that was a hard thing for many to accept, is getting that data, because you know, a lot of people figured to put a spotlight on, but, you know, I think data helps us push back, because we've had a lot thrown at us, and we are where we are because we didn't have that data. I'm going to use one example of the upper Klamath Lake and Klamath Marsh. I mean, they dried up that system up there, took all of the irrigation water off, And then last year, you know, in trying to figure out what they were going to give the project, in-stream flows were low. Well, and yet we had a good winter. But when you dry up that sponge, and this is a layman, I don't have the science, but to me, when you dry up the sponge and you have a great winter, that sponge is going to suck it up and it isn't going to release. And so, you know, I guess the ironic part of it is it was man-created to take the water off. It reduced the stream flow, and then man is creating this new regulation that we need to have more in-stream flow, but yet we collapse the system above it. So I appreciate the great work you're doing, and keep at it, because that one graph is just, you know, with the red line, I mean, that tells it all, and I'll be sharing that widely. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I use it as much because we are really using it to whoever tells us you are destroying the hydrograph, you are, you barely see it. Mm-hmm. And that's always like that. And also, I want to point out, Scott Valley was really the only, it's weird anyway, it was the only recharge project last winter. Even if it was, nobody else was able to get to the thresholds, there were problems here and there, so it was the only temporary 180 days permit that issued by the State Water Board that was really used. And I can tell you, and Matt can tell you, these 180 days permit are so much work. Now we know our way, so it's okay. So for this year we have it already, but we are now working on a 5-year permit, so that then we can really concentrate on just doing the work for 5 years instead of keeping doing permits every year.
So that's it. That's like almost running for an election every year. Huh.
One would advocate, especially me, that why do we even need a permit? We have an approved plan for this. And somehow we, maybe legally, need to force the state recognizing that the permit should be our authority, not having to beg for this elsewhere. Because the state, in essence, is throwing roadblocks in front of us trying to recover this aquifer. Maybe we can help us do that.
And, you know, I have to tell you the truth. The permits right now, it's no longer a problem. Because we received it. And we work really well with the permits unit at the State of the Board. We need to admit that those group of guys that are completely, you know, at the State of the Board, everybody works in different containers, let's say. And those guys have been really, really helpful, and they are helping us also with the recharge in Shasta, and they've been supportive. So, honestly, they did all what they could to issue the permit. Now it's still working on it.
Isn't fishing in, it's always a stumbling block. See, we're nodding heads, you don't have to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I just want to say thank you so much for all the hard work that you continue to do to push this plan forward and keep us moving forward with this. I can't say enough for everything that our colleagues have already put into this. I'm not going to beat that horse, but we have to keep moving forward with this. It seems like we keep running into these stumbling blocks that push us backwards, but thank you and everybody in the valley and all of these basins that keep moving these projects forward, because we can't make progress without your tenacity and your continued support for us. And we couldn't do it without you, so thank you very much for that. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you to Matt. That he has been so patient on answering all the questions, all the problems, listening to us. So it has been really a teamwork, I have to say. But it's true that we move forward even if every week there is a new problem. I think probably every day. Okay. Thank you, and really feel free to use the information as you see they can help you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to item D, flood control district, and discussion, direction, and possible action regarding an advanced conflict waiver sought by Best Best and Creator LLP to provide specialized legal services to the district with regard to a potential concessionaire assignee for the remaining lease term at Lake Siskiyou Campground Resort.
So, Natalie Reed, County Council. The law firm of Best Best and Krieger, which I'll refer to as BBK, is assisting the flood district in an advisory capacity on an assignment of lease matter and is available to assist the flood district on other matters, including water-related matters. And so the firm is seeking an advanced conflict waiver from the flood district for water law issues. As explained in the waiver before you, BBK is a large firm with numerous offices throughout California. It has a diverse agency clientele, and the firm can find itself with clients that have varied interests on water law issues. Thus, BBK seeks an advanced conflict waiver as to water issues, and the waiver would have the district consent to the firm in the future representing clients that have adverse positions on water law issues to the flood district, subject to the firm erecting an ethical screen between the attorneys for the district and a potential future client. The firm must still inform the flood district in writing in the future if this type of water law conflict arises, and then the flood district at that time may determine whether it wants to continue to use BBK or not.
Any discussion?
Just a quick question. The consent line where you have Siskiyou County Flood Control of our conservation district, we have Joy Hall as Director of General Services, and General Services is not under the flood control district. So who's the representative that actually has the authority to sign this?
That would be the flood control district, not General Services. It would CC to Joy Hall, but she does not have to be the signatory.
Just want to keep it where it belongs.
Yeah, for sure. So I would propose that as part of the motion, the flood district chair be authorized to sign.
That would be my motion.
Second.
Alrighty, Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Director Haupt.
Aye.
Director Harris.
Aye.
Director Kobsev.
Aye.
And Director Ogren.
Aye. With that, we will adjourn as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and remain as the Board of Supervisors. Moving on to item 10, we're looking at committee assignments for the members of the board.
And if I could, real quick, I did add some notes in the summary that Supervisor Haupt has served the maximum two terms on the Public Health Solid Waste Hearing Panel, and the department is asking that another board member be selected for this position. And then also, the board recently selected Supervisor Valenzuela as delegate to the California State Association of Counties, but an alternate was not selected. We'll need that done today as well. And then when it comes down to the Local Transportation Commission and the Siskiyou Transportation Agency, JPA, that those members sit on both. So I would make a note in our committee assignments that the JPA is also part of that.
Okay.
What are we taking up first?
Well, for me, I'm good with what I have, but I'd like to pick up Brandon's assignment of the North Coast Collaborative, whatever that
is. Resource Partnership, NCRP?
Yeah. I was on that years ago.
What was that for?
NCRP.
NCRP?
Yeah.
Is that the one where you're the alternate currently?
I'm on the executive board.
Oh, okay.
which means you'll be the... He was on the technical peer review. No, not that. Where is that?
I'm looking at it.
It's first. Wait a minute.
It's not an easy
policy peer. He was on the policy review panel. It's the PRP.
That was Brandon Chris was on that. Yes, delegate. And there at that time, there was no alternate chosen.
Yeah, he picked up where I...
Right.
Whatever I wanted before you.
So that was policy review panel.
So we're going to add to the policy review panel Supervisor Haupt now instead of Chris.
Okay.
Thank you.
For you, everyone else is the same. Okay, I'll jump in real fast and pick up Brandon's Air Pollution Control District.
We're all on that.
No, I'm not.
There's really? Only four.
You? Nope.
So who would we leave out then?
Brandon.
Who would be Supervisor Harris?
Harris then would not be on. Okay.
I'm set where I'm at. Although Wendy wanted me to add CMSP onto my, because I'll have to do a Form 7 letter for that.
CMSP was, that, was on Brandon's?
No, it was just one that it's a state thing that I'm now a member of.
I thought we had something for CMSP.
I don't see it on there.
Hmm. I'll check into it.
Okay.
So with Supervisor Haupt going off the, is it the, what you call the regional solid waste?
No, it's the public health. What was it? Public Health Solid Waste Hearing Panel.
Yeah.
And it's something that I believe it's Environmental Health through Community Development, Alexa, deals with.
Solid Waste Hearing Panel?
And I was told that his term, two terms, is up. So we need another board.
No, I didn't. Well,
never heard of that.
Been two meetings in 10 years. I think that was pretty active when the dump was closed.
Oh, yeah.
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 So you have me listed as an alternate to the Air Pollution Control Hearing Board?
Yes, that's...
Coordinating Council, is that different than what we already do?
It is different, and I've, over the years, I'm not exactly sure what that is,
yeah,
but we've been told
either.
Not to remove
no
it.
Clue.
From the list.
Yeah, I haven't been contacted ever. So, one of the things you have for me on Golden State Natural Resources, you have me as an alternate. And I'm not an alternate. I'm a board member. So I don't know where the alternate came from.
That looks like it was back in 2021.
Yeah, no, but I became a board member of that. I'm not an alternate.
So Golden State Natural Resources...
Yes.
Should be...
I should say board member, I guess. I'm not a delegate, because RCRC chooses who sits on that.
Oh, okay. So replace alternate with board member?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would propose for the CSAC alternate, Supervisor Harris, if he's willing to take that on, because that would be a good jumping off point for you.
Yep, that will.
So I think all we're left with would be who's going to do the public health solid waste hearing panel.
Supervisor Harris take that on.
Okay.
Hand him a shovel.
believe they consider those four-year terms, so at this point, I'll just consider it for his term as supervisor.
Yeah,
correct?
It sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to talk about it every year.
Forget by the end.
I know we always bring this every time, but Northeast Plateau Air Basin.
In the code of thing?
It's a requirement, and I believe Jim Smith deals with that.
I know, but we never, what do we do?
From what I understand, it just...
Keep doing nothing.
Do nothing at this point.
Okay.
Okay, are we good?
We just need a motion to...
I would move to approve with the changes.
Approve as discussed.
Yeah, if everybody's good with it. Yeah,
I will make the note to add the JPA change. Yours, air pollution, Mr. Harris will not be there, and the solid waste as well. Okay, I think I got it.
All right, we moved. You have a second?
I'll second. Third.
All right.
Wait on Mr. V for a minute.
That's loud.
Oh, and I have a note here. I do need to get a hold of somebody from NorTech that had called our office last week. Still, Supervisor Valenzuela is the primary and Supervisor Kopseff is the alternate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will let them know. Alrighty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakley.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, done with that. We've got minute approval for January 7th, 2025.
No changes on that. So, hang on. Where am I? Oh, we needed appointments first.
I skipped appointments.
Yep. Yeah.
So
okay.
Sorry.
I brought this back from January 7th because I did get a letter of interest from Travis Salvestro, who is interested in the District 1 delegate position on the Fish and Game Commission for District 1.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Alrighty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakley?
Aye.
And then minute approval for the 7th. I did not receive any corrections.
Move for a second.
Kopseff. There we go. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Excuse me, Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakley?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to board and staff reports.
I do. Angela Davis, County Administrator. I just wanted to make mention that there is a program called Center for Homeland Security Executive Leadership Program. It's a very distinguished program nationwide, and they had over 10,000 applicants. 34 out of the 10,000 applicants were chosen. And Brian Shinomi was one of the 34. The folks that make the selection make note that people oftentimes have to reapply year after year before they're even selected. This was his first attempt, and so I just want to call that out because that's a very distinguished, for County of Siskiyou to be represented at this level of Homeland Security is something to be, it's noteworthy. So. That's all I have for today.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
Nothing. Start the new year off with nothing.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
I attended the CLFA Foresters meeting Thursday last week. That's it.
That's it. Supervisor Harris?
On the 8th, I attended Doris Lions Club. The 9th, Siskiyou County Farm Bureau. The 13th was a Shasta Producers meeting. Also had the Greater McLeod Fire Emergency Response meeting that day. Went to the ESA meeting in Ashland with Supervisor Kopsev and was with Nielsen on the 15th. Attended a cattle woman's meeting that evening. And I had a meeting with the Modoc tribe yesterday. And I think that's it.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Attended the RCRC meeting in Sacramento on the 8th. And that night they did also recognize rural county leadership in the state legislature. Attended a Tri-Counties meeting that week as well. LTC meeting. And was in attendance with the Supervisor Harris, and oh, that's something we need to do today too, back to committee assignments. The ESA meetings, Supervisor Chris was the, I'll call it delegate, I was the alternate, and so I don't mind being the alternate still and let Supervisor Harris take the delegate if that's the board's wishes. I have not been attending as many of those meetings, only because they tend to just go to meet, to meet, to meet. And I think that that's starting to take hold, if that's a description. You know, we want to be in support of our county's water users at those meetings, but there's further meetings that are gonna be coming up, but bottom line is, it's real difficult when you put forth solutions to what we could support, and it, they just go on deaf ears. So anyway, I'll leave it at that.
And ESA,
it's
Endangered Species Act.
No, it's help me out, Ms. Nielsen. ESA,
Endangered Species Act.
But those meetings in Farm to Planet.
Yes, Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. They're the ESA management team meetings.
Team meetings. Okay. Thank you.
And also attended conversation about the bear management plan for the state of California. And also with attended a meeting with the Cal Fish and Wildlife on our monthly meeting on updates about a variety of issues that we continue to put before the department.
The chair.
Sure.
I do want to mention something that I would be remiss if I didn't bring it up now. I did meet with the Shasta Chamber and also the City Council at their meeting, presented and gave some information regarding plowing of Everett Memorial Castle Pike. I want to thank Tom Dean for taking plenty of time out of his busy schedule to share with what we do and how we do it. I conveyed to the City of Mount Shasta that we're spending in excess of $200,000 a year to plow those roads. You know, they were not, you know, my words, I used, hey, there's no one's got skin in the game. We're the ones doing it. And we know how important it is. I did get the TOT tax for District 2. We are the predominant generators for TOT countywide. But that's not, all of us contribute some sort to that. My point is this, we're doing the best we can. If they want better service, then they're going to have to help come up with some creative ideas. And I'm open to that. But, I basically convey to Tom Dean explaining what we're up against, because it's plowing those roads is not the number one priority for this county, as anyone would expect. If it's a big issue for them, then come up with some ideas and we won't listen to them. So again, I want to publicly thank Tom Dean for taking the time out to do that. And the road department is doing above and beyond.
Yes.
To do the work. Yes, thank you.
Back in the day, when the old ski bowl was up there, they would close that highway down there right where the gate is.
Well, the city believes it's our road. It's a, in my mind, it's a Forest Service road. We have a maintenance agreement with.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, secure rural school funding is always on the
Yeah,
on the
table.
On the table. If we ever lose that.
Yeah,
when the blocker did this year.
Yeah.
Right. And then so you know, again, just trying to be ahead of the curve to give them where we are at any moment in time. I think, you know, we have to keep that going. Moving forward.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's see. On the 8th and 9th, I was in Sacramento with RCRC meeting with Supervisor Thompson and Supervisor Allen. Coming back from RCRC, I was on an Oracle RC&D meeting. On the 10th, I had a 4-hour retreat for C2C4S, that's our annual retreat. That's Cradle to Careers for SISCU, Wendy.
Cradle to Careers.
Cradle to Careers for SISCU. On the 11th, I went to a fire chiefs meeting. On the, let's see, 14th, LAFCO meeting. And also a Transportation Commission meeting and JPA. Got to keep that in there.
We got to look at that because we found out something that we didn't. We didn't get where we wanted to go. But anyway,
not
sorry,
exactly.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
There was on the 14th also a Siskiyou County Drought Resilience Public Meeting. Siskiyou County Drought Resilience Plan Public Meeting that I attended.
Okay.
The CLFA Forestry Meeting with Supervisor Hout on Thursday morning. State of California Bear Meeting with Supervisor Cobsett on the 15th. No, was it the 15th or the 16th? That was the 16th. Mom?
And it was Thursday.
It was Thursday, the 16th. I got my dates all mixed up. Attended a webinar on the governor's budget on Friday morning. That was interesting. And that pretty much covers it. Okay. If there's no other comments or anything from staff, it's 11:14. We gotta go back and close.
Yes, the board will be returning to closed session to finish the remainder of the items you did during the consent agenda, appoint a negotiator. So the contingent closed sessions for property will go into closed session.
And flood as well. That was left over from the morning.
We do have flood left over from the morning, but those might be dropped. I'll let you know when they come back up.
Are we done? All right.
So I just turned off the